This week on the Media Corps Minute podcast, I sit down with Julie Stanky, the president and CEO of Fresh Paint. I think you guys are going to really like this one. We hear her story. There's a ton of great learning experiences. Also, how to develop your people, grow your company, and thrive with partnerships. Well, Julie, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me down here. I mean, what an honor. So I feel like, thanks, Josh.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited. When we first met, it was probably almost a year, maybe a little bit more now ago. And you guys were looking at doing your first video. And it was fun because we were in the running and, you ended up deciding to work with us. And it has been just a joy and a pleasure ever since, just being able to work with you guys and know who you are and just cultivate this relationship. So
absolutely, definitely appreciate that. when you first, I think we did a video chat.
Yeah, we did. Zoom meeting.
And your face comes on and you're just listening to us. Mm-hmm. And we got off that video chat and we're like, yep, that's the one. That's the guy. He gets it.
It's so funny because I don't ever get to experience, I guess, like what other people do in our industry, mm-hmm. like how their conversations go, what their pricing. I mean, I don't have any awareness of that. I just, because we haven't had a ton of it, like of the competition side. And obviously there's more in the Twin Cities, but like here we were one of the only options that can do this. And then we just started doing it really well. And you just become kind of the company that people want to work with. So in a new market, it's like, oh, this is all new. Like there's other people here. But that's our big thing. Just care for people. Try to make it more about what their needs are than what we're trying to do.
You did that well. You're right, in the cities, there's a little bit more competition. But you could tell that, Media Corps just had that. You wanted to hear our story. Mm-hmm. The other companies wanted to know how they could fit us kind of into what's working for them. And there was mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that. It was just when we heard your conversation, you were just like our big brother and tell us what you want. We can craft it. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is how we sell. This is how we want to help people. So it was that connect, the heart that we were looking for.
I love that.
Yeah.
And thus far, you've great response with the video.
Really
and
great response.
Love that.
I think it gave our clients mm-hmm. an opportunity to see us a little bit behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. They see us and we're very playful and fun, but they also had a chance to see kind of where we're coming from, where our heart is, and really that we're just people.
Yeah.
We're just people mm-hmm. with all our flaws, and we're just people. And we're trying to just help other people. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing it different for sure, and we'll definitely dive kind of more into that as we go. But even just to start, can you give us like an overview of Fresh Paint? What is Fresh Paint? What do you guys do?
I will give you an overview. Fresh Paint really is, it's a commercial and industrial painting company, and there are many of them. Mm-hmm. We are different in the respect that we're really built on relationship. We don't really go out cold calling or anything like that. We have a relationship. They recommend mm-hmm. us to somebody else. Most of our business is repeat business, but it is because that relationship piece is there. Mm-hmm. And we do everything from a tenant build out like what we did here, which is my favorite thing to do. Yep. I was a commercial property manager, so I enjoy this piece of it. Mm-hmm. But everything from this we were honored to do the inside of the Landmark Center in St. Paul. And that was a few years back. It doesn't get done often, and we were invited into that. We have done crazy things like the top of the Space Needle.
That story was wild.
At the State Fair.
Yep.
Hadn't been done in 60 years. And nobody really knew how to do it, what to do. Mm-hmm. And they called up Larry, our owner, and said, oh, you want to give this a shot? And, of course, Larry is the weirdest thing. Let's do it. Let's figure it out.
Yep.
So we do a little bit of everything, but we're really strategic in the respect that we don't want to be everything for everyone.
Yeah.
We know what our lane is, and we're growing, which is very exciting to me. But, again, we want to do it well, and we want to do it to meet our current customers' needs first, and then see where that takes us.
Well, yeah, and as you're growing, too, it's like it's one of those things where you start to figure out more and more about where that lane even is and what you love doing and the people that you love working with.
Yes.
And you're getting to a point, too, where you can really go, wait, this doesn't fit, but we have, you know, people that could potentially help, but this is the stuff that we're, you know, really good at and
yes,
know that you're going to enjoy working with us on.
Yes. A few years back, we would get requests from our clients and saying, could you help us with floorings? Do you have a good vendor that could? And of course, yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And so we did partner up with many different facets because we wanted to provide more services so that our property managers, our GCs, our clients, they're busy. They don't have time to deal with six different vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And so we like managing people and helping with those connections. So we kind of took that on, and that became a value add to our clients, which they appreciate. So
yeah, I mean, even there, just finding a need and going, how can we, you know, help the people that we're working with?
And so, with video, of course.
That's right. That's right.
We're like, okay, you guys have to tell your story. You got to call Josh, you know? So that's helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah. What kind of area do you guys serve primarily?
Mostly the five-state area is our main. It's the majority of our business. But we have very good clients that will call us up and say, would you like to go to, you know, Mississippi? We went down to Missouri. We went to Colorado. We do a lot of rebranding. We did the Speedway rebrand, and that took us in different directions. And, of course, we're up for a challenge, so let's do it.
Isn't it wild how, I mean, like, you saw our map even just here.
Yes.
Like, we started in Little Rochester, and it's like, how do you start to get these random jobs all over the place, and it keeps growing? I mean, just from one project to the next and your network growing, I mean, like, where that can take a company has always been just super cool. Like, you just look like, how'd you get to there? It's like a lot of just doing this and meeting people, and it just kind of just keeps growing and growing.
It does. You know, like I said, the customers that you develop a relationship with, they start to see that even though your skill level or your lane is here, they know that you're the trusted person to give them the next vendor that they're seeking. And a lot of our connections have come that way. And we do a lot of work within associations. Mm-hmm. We join a lot of associations. We get involved in their committees. Just because I'm a very relational person, but our staff is very relational, and we want to know and help. And of course, in the winter, we'll go to Florida. Of course we will, right? No. But you're right. The world is a very small place, and the Twin Cities. Now we're playing in Rochester a bit. We've met amazing people down here. And we're looking to go maybe towards South Dakota and just really grow because, you know, we have a staff that they want to grow the company so that there's opportunity. I don't want to lose any of my staff.
Yep.
And so we need to grow in order to provide opportunity.
Absolutely.
And as long as they have the energy and drive, I'm all for it. So let's do it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny. We actually just had a guy in that was talking about that, and it'll be the podcast now from a week ago that's not out yet, but he was talking about that same thing, like finding these great people, because to him, like, it was all about his team and about the people that have been a part of it, but creating that space for them to continue to grow so that they don't have that, I'm stuck, there's nothing more here. It's like, no, like, if you want to do that and we want to keep you, like, you as the leader of a company too, we're going, like, I have to create opportunities that they can continue to grow with us in and stuff like that. So I love that.
You probably have a very similar story. Mm-hmm. My story was just every time I hit that ceiling, the ceiling was just that there's no more opportunity for me here.
Yep.
So therefore I went out seeking.
Right.
And that's unfortunate, but it was good.
Yeah.
But knowing that at my age, we're bringing in this talent that is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want them to leave. Yeah. I always tell them, if you even sense you're getting bored, please just tell me what you need. But really, they have to drive the bus. Mm-hmm. They have to develop. If you have a love of manufacturing and we're not in that field, which we're definitely in that field, but if you want to develop it more, then take the wheel and go.
Yep.
Lead us. That's really what we're looking for. And as I stayed put when I've been here 10 years, and I literally, I don't think I could get bored at this point. There's so much to do.
Yeah.
But the staff, we have to grow in order to serve more clients, but to give them the opportunity to grow, because I don't want them to leave, right?
Yep.
And when you have good ones, you just have to.
Yeah, and that they, you know, that you have a mission and vision for Fresh Paint and where you're going that people want to be a part of. I mean, that was big for us. It was like this, if we're going to be bringing somebody on to a relatively small team, it's like, one, culture fits huge. But two, we want you for the long haul. Like, we want you to see what we're doing, love it, have a passion in it, and see the growth pattern and what this can be, because this is where we're trying to go. And just to have that buy-in from everybody that's part of the team and going, like, we're excited to push this to get there and then pass that has been sweet.
And you see in your people, there's just talent there that they don't even know they have yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're able to put them into different areas,
yep.
that's uncomfortable, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
but then they start to shine or develop or say, no, I don't like that area.
Yeah.
Our Mike Vowles, our VP of Business Development, he came on right out of college,
mm-hmm.
marketing degree, came in as a marketing person.
Yep.
And just through a fate of, unfortunately, Dennis had a bad biking accident in the middle of summer. Mike had only been here a few months, and Dennis was out for about 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And we looked at Mike and said, can you join us? I mean, it was the heart of the busy season, right? And he just said, okay. So he jumped in. Well, by the time Dennis came back, Mike looked at us and said, I really like this. I really like the selling part of it and the relationship. And I said, okay. So we went out and found somebody else to do the marketing.
Yep.
And then he stepped in, and now he's our vice president of business development. And so, there's more. And it's not just to grow for opportunity, but this opportunity is creating space for our partners to grow. We're big into freelance and entrepreneurs that are coming in, and we have the resources to help on one side.
Yep.
But we need more labor and help. And we've been able to create these partnerships where these smaller companies can come in and we can serve them through our resources, and then they can grow their business.
Yep.
And we're seeing that as we go forward, this is our path to try to help. I love entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
There's just something about their spirit and just drive. If there's a problem, no problem. We'll figure it out. And I love that. I grew up with that. And so it's really exciting to now we see Fresh Paint not just as this painting company.
Right.
This is an engine that is going to allow not only our people to grow and stay with us, but to bring in others and be a force. We just started a food drive this month.
Okay.
And our marketing coordinator, Alex, she says, okay, we started a whole team of party planners or, charity work.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you want to do it all.
Oh, yeah.
But we're trying to focus. Julie has to focus. I it's hard for me to focus sometimes, but it's exciting because we've gone from being a company that is just growing to now we're able to help others, and not just in the painting realm or the business realm, but now we're able to go out and really help. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a food shelf or we do a lot of supporting the military. Mm-hmm. And that now is actually the fuel that is behind us. Absolutely. You know, or the wind that we really, now there's a bigger purpose for what we do. Mm-hmm. And so that's what gets me up.
Absolutely.
What gets me up in the morning right now.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, there's so much to do. I don't think I could ever get bored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you said, too, you grew up with entrepreneurs. Yeah. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I am the oldest daughter of two entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. My father owned a roller rink. So I grew up on roller skates.
He did? Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
I still roller skate to this
day.
I love it. And my grandson, we're just teaching. We just got him on skates, and he's 4 and a half. So very exciting. But yes, I started as a snack bar girl. Mm-hmm. My father, at the time, I did not think, you know, I thought he was the meanest boss I would ever have in my whole life. He would not allow the daughter of the owner to be treated special. Mm-hmm. So the daughter of the owner had to do all the things that none of the other, you know, had to, the mop when, you know, it wasn't in my job description.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Ha, ha, ha. Yep. And when prom happened, right, I was the one that had to work while the other kids could go. So I thought this was horrible, but what a lesson. Mm. I learned a ton of valuable lessons at the roller rink. There was a time where we were very busy. I'm standing at the snack bar. You know, you're trying to help the people in line, and the phone rang. And I went to grab the phone, and my dad pushed my hand down and says, "You don't answer that phone when there are people in line standing in front of you, in front of your face."
And yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, what is? But I learned. I learned that the roller rink, he was in the hospitality business. Mm-hmm. And that customer standing in front of you was the most valuable person.
That's priority right now. Yep.
And that was, I was 13, 14, 15, mm-hmm. you know? And he taught me so much about the hospitality side. It's all about the experience that he could provide for mm-hmm. all the people in the roller rink. And his workers, I mean, everybody had wanted to work for Al. So he had a way of bringing people in, not just clients, but employees. And my mother, also an entrepreneur, she started with a cake decorating business when we were kids, literally in our house.
Yep.
But we watched her. We watched her when people came in, and she'd sit down and create that experience. Mm. And just like you tell stories, she made that cake, you know, the most precious part.
Built it
of
into
the event.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then she went on to do small business in glass, where she created. She went to a lot of craft shows and stuff like that. And we were kids at the time, didn't think much of it, but we learned all those, you know, financial lessons. We learned hard work. My mom and dad both worked weekends. Mm. So literally, I didn't understand that people didn't work weekends.
Yeah.
We had a cabin at one point. My aunt and uncle could always come up. And I thought, how did they get every weekend off? I assumed.
Did you guys ask off every weekend?
How do you get every weekend off? Because I worked retail before. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was too old. I should have known better. But we always worked weekends. And a lot of life lessons. And I now thank my dad for holding me accountable mm-hmm. when I was young. I understand why he was teaching me.
Yep.
What he was teaching.
When do you think you really started to like realize those life lessons? Like, because I mean, when you're that young, it's really hard to go like big picture. Like, this is going to be helping me in the long run.
Probably not until I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. Isn't that terrible? But I then went into retail. I love retail because I love the service side of it. Mm-hmm. I loved every day was different in retail.
Oh, yeah.
And Once I got around other owners, business owners, and some business owners were like my father, and some business owners were the exact opposite, where the kids received everything. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, wait a second here, yeah. You know? Yeah. But now, fast forward, I see how that plays out. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful. We raised our daughter very much the same way, and she probably thinks exactly the same.
Yeah.
But I think the life.
Well, you can look forward to when she's 30 and
she
coming back.
Me. To you. I just think I appreciate my mom and dad, how they raised me.
You hear a lot of that, honestly. I mean, there's a lot of like the people that have figured it out slowly. You know, a lot of that hard work, a lot of those life lessons, have gotten it. You know, from parents and mentors and leaders in their lives, that's really paying dividends now as they. Yeah. You know, progress their careers, but also are developing other people now under them.
Yes.
And by the way, did you go to college?
I did.
You did.
I went to college, but I did not go. I was one of those older people.
Okay.
That went to college.
Okay.
I didn't go to college right away because I started in a Century College, mm-hmm. community college.
Yep.
I had just been promoted to manager of the retail store.
Oh, nice.
So, and my parents didn't go to college. And I thought...
Were they pushing for it or not?
No, they never pushed.
Yep.
My mentor in high school pushed. I was in DECA, Distributive Education Clubs of America, which is very marketing, merchandising. And I loved it so much. And my teacher, Stan Rosen, who I, to this day, just credit him for so much. But he pushed and he pushed and he wanted me to go to Stout, UW-Stout. And, but at the time, I was...
Right, absolutely.
I was making a lot of money, and at 18, that was...
Yeah.
Made sense. And my mom literally looked at me and said, well, you can go to college, but you're going to come out making less than what you're making now. Mm-hmm. You have a future. You know, and my dad, they showed me that there's a way without college.
Yep.
I ended up going back to college, kind of did my midlife crisis at 30 instead of 50 or 60. But I had hit that ceiling. I was with...
And that was with that retail?
I stayed in retail until almost 30. Yeah, 30. I was just turning 30. I was a district sales manager for the men's warehouse.
Nice.
Which... Another gift in my journey was, believe it or not, George Zimmer and just the way he ran his business. I came into his stores right when he came to the market. I learned so much through that experience. Really, the customer experience went from the roller rink to retail, and then when I went to work for the men's warehouse, it just stepped up.
Really?
They introduced a book called it's called Raving Fans.
Okay.
And it's a very simple premise. It discover what you want, right? Discover what your client wants, and then deliver plus 1%.
Oh,
very
okay.
simple.
Yeah.
But magical.
Yep.
And I was so excited about that book. And that book started my journey through, you know, all the business books. And it fed a part of me that I was longing for. It connected. And so I was there for most of my, seven, 8 years. And ended up hitting the ceiling where the next move would have been out of state. Well, I'm a Minnesota girl, and family is here. I'm not going anywhere. And so I had to really look at myself and figure out,
what do I want to do?
What's next? Yep. And I was a bit of a workaholic, a little too much. And I knew I wanted to get back to my family. I had a young daughter at the time. And I decided to go back to school. And not many people do that, but I always wanted to be a teacher.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was the thought at the time. Like, I'm going to go back, be a teacher, and then, okay.
So I quit the retail world, went back to school full-time, went to UW River Falls, and College of Education, and became a teacher.
Okay.
And I became an elementary teacher and had a blast.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. And, but, once again, I found myself, that retail bug of mine and the business bug, I was It was funny. One year, I created a whole little town called Scooperville. And it was based on a little book at the time. It was called Be a Scooper. And it was the premise of it was these kids were all playing. And it's about scooping up dog poop. Mm. And you know how there's, you'll walk, you'll be in a field, and there's dog poop on it. People will walk around it, or they'll play around it instead of just scooping it up. Yep. So the whole book was about being a scooper and being willing to do the hard stuff.
Yep.
And so we created a whole town called Scooperville. And in this town, it was like a business, and they had a checkbook. And, you know, we talked about the lessons of the business world.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized is the business is my heart.
Yeah.
In the school system, I found out I love to teach and I love kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know if that was my box. Like, was that the lane I was supposed to stay in? And that need to be with children, we weren't able to have any more children. And I think there was just this yearning to get into that space. But from that space, I ended up leaving. And a very wise man had said one time, why are you going back to college? You don't need college. And I said, no, I have to do this. I have to do this. And then after that, I went into property management, which was completely different than anything I had ever done. But really, property management is just about taking care of buildings, tenants. You want them happy. It's an asset. You want to protect the owner's asset. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I can do this, right?
So were you just looking around at the time at different jobs?
No. My mother, who had that retail side of her, went to work for a company called Suntai Commercial.
Yep.
And she loved it. And she raved about it. And I thought, okay, if mom raves about it, I'll give this a shot.
Yep.
And I was fascinated. It was something I had never, I could use the people. It's all people, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It's all, if you love people, that is a space that you can really excel. But what I did find is that I loved the people side of it. A lot of the work is fire. And so we relied a lot on our vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And our vendors, and one of my vendors was Fresh Paint.
Oh, that's great.
But a lot of my vendors, I had really good vendors, and then I had some not so good vendors. And I kept thinking, I was there 6 years, and I kept thinking, come on, it's not this
hard. There's got to be,
just help me, you know, as the property manager. Mm-hmm. Just help. All I'm asking for is to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody has a bad day. I had many bad days. And I was with Larry, the owner of Fresh Paint, one day, and I said, hey, Larry, I'm going to come to work for you. And he said, really? And I
just throw it out there.
I said, yeah, just one of those days, you know? Yeah. And he says, well, let's talk. So we talked. And what I found is when I was a property manager, I really enjoyed getting to know the tenants and serving them and the network of vendors. So it turned out that it was a stepping stone. It taught me a lot. And now my daughter is a property manager.
Oh, that's great.
Three generations. And they're a wonderful, wonderful company. And I'm very blessed to have been there.
Mm-hmm.
But now, and now, they're one of our biggest accounts. So it works just, you know, everything works for good if you serve.
That's right.
It just has a way of working out. And so I'm here. But when I started here, again, it was dysfunction, just like every company.
How big was it at that point?
We were a nice size, well, I don't want to say a nice size company, but when I started, we were in a little two-office, little suite.
Mm-hmm.
They had gone through, you know, the ugly of the downturn of the market.
Right.
This company has been very resilient. Has had protection from above, and they've had very low side, very high side, very low side, very high side, and that roller coaster needed to be smoothed out a little bit. And Larry, the owner, is a very good man. Very good man, and a huge heart for serving people, a huge heart for wanting to protect the people that work for him. And that's where I connected with him, and I thought, okay, I want to work for him. And together, now it has been a long haul, as you know, any business. It is not for the faint of heart.
All right.
There are very good times. There are very bad times. There are times where you just want to throw your head up against a wall.
Yep.
And then there are times where you think, okay, we can do this one more day. All right, we can do this. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah, there's the highest highs and the lowest lows. Yeah. I mean, it's like there's nothing better than this. Like, I absolutely love this. And then you're like, yeah, I could go do that, make a lot of money, and it'd be a lot easier. And you know, it's always the back of the head.
And that's probably Monday when you're feeling like, yeah, this is working. And then Friday, I'm getting my resume together.
Yeah.
And my first 3 years probably at Fresh Paint, I had my resume ready to go, and I thought, what have I done?
Yeah.
I left a really good career, and I'm here, and what did I do? I let my teaching degree, my teaching license go. I mean, I feel like I've been through the school of hard knocks.
Yeah.
You know, if it can be done wrong, I can do it wrong. I do learn once I do it wrong.
Yep, yep.
But that was a difficult couple of years. And again, a person came into my life, and I had seen him speak, and he was at an award show, and he was receiving an award for how wonderful his company was. And I listened to him talk, and I thought, okay, I have to know this person.
Mm-hmm.
So I went up, introduced myself, and I said, do you have time for lunch? And he said, yes. And I thought, okay. And that day we talked about, I said, I'm frustrated. I don't know if I should stay, go.
Yep.
I don't. And he said, do you have a vision of where it could go? I said, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what do you need to get there? And I said, I need another ally.
Yep.
You know, because I came into a family situation, a lot of family in the business. And as any business, small business knows, family and friends can, there's good.
make it challenging. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And so he said, if you're willing, I will meet with you. And if you're willing, you have to be willing. And I thought, okay. He goes, and I work with a leadership coach that I think people in this, if you really want to be great, just like if you go and you want to be really healthy, you're going to work with a trainer. If you're willing, it's worth your time and energy. I would hire this person. Well, we didn't hire the person for me at the time. And we just thought, okay, we'll give the trainer to this person and fix this person.
Right.
And that person didn't necessarily want that.
Yeah.
And so I think what I've learned is that when people are willing, and that's why he kept saying to me, are you willing? And I was willing, but I should have taken that person for me at that time. And I was like, no, I don't need it. This person needs it. Fix this person, and then all will be great. No. Here.
What was your role at the time?
I was in business development.
Was that kind of the first thing that you came in as? Okay.
I came in as their first outside salesperson.
Yep.
So when the phone rang, I wasn't the person that would get that. I had to go out and find my own business. Well, there was misconception of, I think they thought I was going to come in and do cold calling, which that would be my hell. Like, if you made me cold call, no way. I said, I can do this, but I have to do it my way. And I'm relational. So I go out, join associations, meet people, go to events. I bring food a lot of times to people. But that was my way. And it worked. It took longer, a little longer to get started. But that's how I continue to do it this to
absolutely.
This day. But through that, I had to get an ally. I had to get, and then he kept telling me that his name's Bob Dufresne, and of Dufresne Manufacturing, and he was the one person. He just said, yes, I will. He didn't have any clue who I was. I was just some person that just kind of went, you know, I want to meet you. Everybody in the room wanted to meet him, but he helped. And when he told me, he goes, if you're willing to stay and you have a vision, then you have to figure, you have to put your feet in the ground and make it happen. Well, the owner and I explained that vision, and it was with, he said, yes, that's what I want. But what you want and what's possible are sometimes different.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a few years, but one by one, we brought in people that shared that same vision. And today, I can honestly say, I mean, I sit back sometimes and think, did this really happen? You know, it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of bad days, a lot of good days, a lot of, and then you make hires that you probably shouldn't have made.
Right.
Or you're disappointed. You put a lot of energy into one person and that person lets you down, but this is a people business I'm not for everybody, right? You know, you have those days where you're just like, okay, yeah, I'm probably not, yeah, I'm the problem. But I think knowing the heart of a person and what they desire, we've learned that people that come to us, just like you told me about Joe, he sought you out.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned that is the trick. I used to go chase people. I don't do that anymore. I wait for them to knock on the door. We just hired an intern.
Nice.
And that person is starting in May. But this intern has been coming back to us for a year. He wanted to work for us last year, but he wanted to work in the winter. And we're like, no, 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 we don't take it. And he just kept coming back and bugging us. And we're like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the one.
Yeah, and passion is key. I mean,
to
have that and to want to do it is really big.
Because most people, you know, we're a small business. If they leave corporate America, when I left my job, I took a huge pay cut.
Oh yeah.
Small business, you have to have a vision and trust that you can add to the business, and that even though you're taking a step back, and literally it can be a big step back, it could be, you know, you're just like hopeful that you'll come back around, but if you enjoy it and you have a chance to grow a business and be part of that, you can't get that in corporate America. Mm-hmm. You can get certain things in corporate America, but our whole company is built on the fact that it's a non-corporate. Even as we grow, somebody's always going, come on now, we don't want to be corporate. And we got to be corporate somewhat, you know. Yeah. But we have to make sure that our heart and our culture stays firm even as we grow. Because even in fast food, I always say that, in fast food, I don't know if you ever had the original Subway sandwich.
I don't know if I did.
The original was the best. And I still go to Subway to this day, but it lost its original.
Mm-hmm.
Most fast food will as they grow. And my role at Fresh Paint is to protect the authentic company and what that is.
Yep.
And as you grow, sometimes. You
don't lose that foundational thing that's keeping you growing. That's key.
It's always about the relationship. I always say we're in the painting business, but we're in the people business, and we solve problems, and we want transformation. So transformation of buildings, protection of buildings, transformation of people, protection of people, right? And then transform lives is where we see the future going. So it's big.
Yeah.
There's lots to do, and it goes from Monday to Friday in a blink of an eye. And now we're at Friday today.
That's right.
and I'm probably still not returning emails since Monday. And that part of it, I wish I could get a handle on. I'm not really strong in that area.
Oh, yeah. No, that's me too. I'm like, catch up. Yep. And then you get to a spot and then just bury it again.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have it that way than, Mundane, no emails slower. Today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I get, are you that way? Are you that way when you get bored? Like, if do you ever get bored?
Not usually. Because I feel like I have, like, this massive list, and it's just, there's priority, and then there's, like, the backlog of just endless things that need
to be. Yes. How about vacation-wise? Like, are you one that can step away for a couple weeks?
No. No, I get about 5 days in, and that's it. Like, I can't do more than that.
Yeah.
And even in those 5 days, I at least have to spend some time either in the morning or something where I'm checking in, getting the emails out, helping out. And I think part of it's personality, but part of it is still just where we're at in our company is Jake and I are still heavily involved with most pieces of the operations, and it'll be like that for a while. And as we continue to develop and you know, leaders inside of this organization continue to grow, we can continue to give more and more away.
Yes.
But yeah, it's hard when you're heavily involved, and but it's also my baby, and I'm like, I love this stuff. Like, to me, like, I could be on vacation, you can be relaxing and hiking, and I'm like, that's good. It's nice to get away, but like, I look forward to Monday. I want to be here. I want to be creating, you know, a workplace where, like, you're excited to be here.
Yeah.
You like the people, you like the culture, you like the work, so that it's never that, like, oh, I gotta go to work, or like, oh, I'm so excited the weekend's here. It's like, to me, like, I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do this weekend. Like, it's not as exciting.
Yeah.
And
do you have children?
Not yet. Okay. Nope. So I'm married a year and a half, and we've talked about it, and she's a little younger than I am. I'm 29, she's 26. Okay. And so we've been talking about it, and we know we want kids.
Yeah.
And but she's working. She enjoys it. It's a hard job. She's a sales manager. And anything in sales and managing people and deadlines and expectations, if they're not getting hit, can be very stressful.
Yes.
And we're in a spot where we're like, this is good. And we know we want it, but we don't want to rush it. And
And that will, you know, obviously kids will bring a whole new element to your world, but it will bring such a value to what you're creating. You think that this is very important,
which
it is.
Yep.
But once you bring others into it, these little creatures, it's not just about building a business or money or what that is. It's going to be your children to be part of this. They just are.
Well, I mean, that's what I hear a lot is like when people have kids, like their focus changes, priorities can change, different things, and you know, I can definitely see how that is going to happen. And, but I want them involved too. Like, I want the kids here and doing different stuff. And you know, I think it'll be, I mean, this is a fun industry to grow up in. I feel like as a younger person too, it's like, you know, we have, like, to this day, we have probably, like, every week we have somebody that's trying to work here in video. And you know, I told Joe that once, and Joe's like, no, like, there's no way. And
that's wonderful.
And then he, you know, he's now running our socials, and he's seeing it too now of, like, all these people that are like, hey, I want to learn how you did that, or I want to come be here, be a part of it.
Yeah.
So we know we are creating something that's working, that's attractive, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is really the people. It's like, video is our tool. Video is our engine of how we do things. It's how we solve problems. It's how we can help. And we act as guides throughout that process because, you know, people don't know how to do everything. It's like, let's make this easy. Let's make it fun. Let's give them something that they love. But it's our care for people and our customer service that's like, that I think a lot of people miss. And part of it could be personality. Part of it could be, you know, how people grow up. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I love about even my brother Jake. It's like we have the same heart, we have the same drive, and we have different things that we can play off. you know, mm-hmm. our strengths, weaknesses tie in together really well. Sure, we can butt heads, you know, here and there. Absolutely. It's going to happen.
Yes. Even outside of family, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have a solid crew
that you're really close with, you can,
because there's passion. You know, you invite people into your team, which is a family. Some of our new people, they'll watch, you know, and there's smoke sometimes. I mean, you're waiting for the smoke to clear the table, and they just look and think, is this okay? And then we're, you know, and then we're chatty after that. No big deal.
Yep.
But I think I grew up in a family that four kids. And so, and my mom and dad were very loud. And that's how we communicated. It was very loud. And so at work, sometimes I'm, you know, what about this? Or what about this? And the fact that I feel comfortable enough and that people around me feel comfortable and that they feel at ease so that when something's frustrating them, I mean, Dennis walks into my office sometimes and he's like, what's going on here? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, but he knows I love him. I mean, I love the man and he loves me and we're going to, I can be the sounding board or it could be me that he's yelling at. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're in this together and this is what we're doing. And I love that you said that about, I mean, you guys have the same heart and you're when it comes to your client, this is bigger than, we are building a business, but this is not just transactional. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with that. It's the joy of getting to know so many different people and their businesses. And you get to go into all these other businesses. It's That's so what fun. I love.
It's so fun.
I mean, you walk in and there's a the name of the company, whatever it is. And then you walk in and you think, well, what do you do? What do you do here?
Yep.
And then you find out the backstory and the grandfather and this and that. And that's one little business as you're driving down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a million more. Whenever we're feeling a little, you know, if you have a soft week or soft month and you're kind of starting to get down, what's going on?
Yeah.
You just go for it. We hit the road. We just hit the road. And just go drive the 694, 494, you know, circle, and then just take an exit and drive. And all of a sudden you realize, look at all the places that don't even know we exist.
Yep.
And that, we talk about controlling the controllables. You know, there's so much we can't control. We can't make the phone ring. We can't force it to ring.
Mm-hmm.
But we can go out and we can touch and we can get to know people and we can plant seeds and we can invest our time in a charity. We can just go, be in action and just stuff happens.
Yeah.
And so it kind of refuels you that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's great.
Yeah. What fills my cup is like the meetings. Like I love those. You know, I have days where I'm primarily just in the office doing, I mean, admin, biz dev, whatever it is, follow-ups, and that can get tiring. You know it needs to be done, but what constantly fills my cup and when I'm like the most excited and happiest is when I'm, it could be even here just on Zoom, but it's going out, it's meeting with people, it's learning things, because each time we have that first meeting, it's truly a discovery. It's learning about them, their company, their needs, their wants, their goals, how they operate, how they do things, and we can really we learn about so many different things and topics and services that we'd have no idea about, and we get to go see a ton of cool stuff. So like, there's a lot of fun, but I love like the business piece.
Yeah.
I love the growth and how people operate and what they do and why they do it and kind of just being a sponge and going, trying to learn, but then also being able to apply at least what we know, going, hey, based off everything that you're saying, here's a cool path on what we could do, how we could help. And I definitely love
you're
doing
good
that,
at that.
But it's,
you're
yeah.
very good at that. Do you like hearing about their challenges? You know, the days that it's the hard things, you know, it's the customer complaint. Mm-hmm. None of us want it. But again, we're all human, so we make our mistakes. And it's that mistake. But I believe people like you and I, that's where we swoop in and thrive. Mm-hmm. You know, we will shine in that issue. We talk about this buffalo. We always talk about, you know, hard times when we went through COVID.
I like the buffalo thing.
Yeah. When I read that back in October. Mm-hmm. And since that time, it's like so true. I never thought of that. You know, when you're in a, when a storm's approaching,
yep.
You know, most of us hunker down. But the buffalo, they turn right into it and walk straight through it because it's shorter. And it shortens the, the storm.
The time that you're in it, yeah.
But the same is true about a complaint, you know, or an issue or an obstacle or whatever it is. It's like if you just turn and face it. We had a situation a couple weeks ago where, you know, there was an issue and I thought, oh my good, here we go, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But you can't, you don't make excuses. You don't run from it. You don't just turn into it, go right into it. And you know what? Men's Warehouse taught me that way back when a customer, his tagline, George Zimmer, was, I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew what that meant, but nobody really knew what that meant. I guarantee it, just everybody felt that meant take care of the customer, which it did. But to what extent was never defined. It was up to the person. And I used to love when this person would come in with their suit on the, you know, on their hanger and they're ready for the fight and you just listen to them and you go, okay, let's go grab another suit. And then they look at you like, yeah. Okay. But that was a lesson from the Men's Warehouse mm-hmm. that I just cherish and I loved working for them for that reason. And I brought that all the way through. I mean, you're only 29 years old. I mean, what you have accomplished to this point, but it's all going to, every business you meet, every person you meet, you're just going to keep adding and adding. And I can't even imagine what you're going to be like, you know, out here. But there's a responsibility then with all this people have poured into our lives. We've learned things the hard way, mm-hmm. right? Then what do you do with it? You die. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling that I'm now half done. I'm hoping only half done, but who knows? Could be tomorrow. But I feel like, okay, I've gained this along the way, and now I get to be part of something extremely special. But I don't want to just die and take mm-hmm. it with me, right?
So pour into people. And yeah.
So now, instead of seeing it as you're climbing, because in your 20s and your 30s, I'm climbing, making my family, I'm making my career, I'm making all of this, and I was all that, right? And now I'm seeing the value in what those my age and older were pouring into me, and mm-hmm. now I see the responsibility, right?
That's super exciting.
Yeah. And you have to share it without sharing it in a, oh no, you know, back in our day, not that, but just touching the way, the softness or the little lessons. And sometimes you just let them make them less, you know, you let them make the mistake because sometimes you just got to make the mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
To really learn it.
You do. Yeah, no, it was funny. We, you know, we had an issue too recently and it was like, it wasn't a big one, but it was one that's just like, it just doesn't feel good. Like when someone doesn't have the experience that we're trying to provide and do, if we don't hit that, like, and they feel that and they let us know that, it's like, oh, that's like a dig. You're like, what? Like,
right.
So, you know, and we, Jake and I were looking at it like, well, what do we want to do? How do we approach it? And, at two different times, you know, we each had talked to the client, you know, one-on-one. And again, just like it's not fun, but you have to go straight
head into it
and try to take care of it. But when we were talking about our solution, it's like, you know, what are we going to do? How do we ail this? You know, do we need to, you know, charge more and do something else? Or like, can we work with what we have? And this and that. And like, it came down to like, really just looking at it like, why are we doing this in the first place? Why do we have MediaCorp? Mm-hmm. Why does it exist? Because, like, sure, we can, you know, we could charge and do it again or try to do extra to rebuild it or, you know, whatever it was. And but, like, going back to, like, the reason why just went like, we just got to take care of them. Like, we, it's not about the money at this point. It's about, you know, and he's like, well, yeah, but like, we can't have them feeling like, you know, they're just, we're just getting taken advantage of and they're, you know, getting whatever they want. And I'm like, well, again, like, they can take it how they want, but at the end of the day, we have to take care of the people that are working with us and trusting us to do this video, to represent their company through this video. And so we ended up just, yeah, like redoing the whole shoot. And it's not done yet, but I'm sure, you know, this V2 will hit what we needed it to hit, just because we could reapproach it differently and really, really dive in. And it's easy to get distracted by certain things in the business and numbers and slow seasons, or like, oh, like we got to just roll. We got to get more because this is going on. But if you're losing sight of like that whole purpose, then again, like that's where all the bad starts to happen.
Snowball.
And it's like, and you just kind of step back, refresh, go, hey, this is why we do this stuff. Let's do it right.
And it's there's a lesson in there, right? I think I'm sure you and Jake now look back on that and think, what should we have done maybe in the very beginning?
Yep.
You know, that the ounce of prevention is worth the pound of cure. And that's what we had every single time it happened. It's like, okay, let's not focus on them. Mm-hmm. What could we have done? What do we have to put back into our process? Or maybe we don't have a process for that. Let's create a process. And you're never going to get it right 100% of the time, right? Your goal is to always get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the goal. We have, I don't know if you remember at our office, we have the picture of the happy dog.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody, you know, that has a dog, they know what that happy dog face looks like, you know, tongue's hanging out. And that is our picture that we go, when we get a bid request, from that moment of getting that bid request all the way to the end, we want that happy dog face. And sometimes that happy dog face doesn't look happy, right? Mm-hmm. It may look like, ooh, you know, with the big eyes, like, what's going on? But our goal is by the end to achieve that happy dog. And that's what you're doing. And sometimes you gotta scoop the poop, a certain way. You have to, whether it's your fault or not, you make it right. I love that you said that.
Mm-hmm.
You make it right. Why am I in business? Why are we doing this in the first place? But what I've learned is every time something goes haywire, we learn something. Mm-hmm. There's a lesson in there.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that lesson is better learned than a college. You can go to college, that's fine. But you never learn those lessons.
Yeah.
And the feeling of that lesson or how it impacts the staff, right? Mm-hmm. We have a situation where I would love to hire a couple people right now that are family members, kind of, but I made a rule about a year and a half ago that said, no more family. We're not going down that route. It's not fair to the person. It's not fair to the staff. It's not fair. We're not doing that. Well, of course, then we get this amazing young man that we want to hire, but he's connected through marriage. And I said, well, what if? And they all looked at me. And it's so hard because really great people are hard to come by, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, you're right. I got to hold to. And then I actually, when I talked to that gentleman, he says, you know, I was actually really impressed that you all, even though you would like to bring me in and you would go to bat for that, you stay true to what, you know, you set a rule, mm-hmm. and this rule is there to protect the staff. And I thought, okay, mm-hmm. all right. But so now I'm out looking to have him, you know, I'm reaching out to my clients right now saying, I've got somebody here that you guys have to hire, you know. And so, okay, well then something that I feel is unfortunate will be a win for somebody else, and it's a win for our company because we're staying true to that. But there's just it's not black and white, it's there's gray there, and Again, we're always making mistakes, but there's a lesson in there.
Always a lesson.
There's always a lesson.
When did you become promoted to like CEO president?
So last year, so I've been in this role without the title.
Okay. Yep.
For probably 5 years. And the owner was the CEO and I was president. And yet I was doing both roles.
Yep.
And I think there was a lot of miscommunication. You know, it's hard on a staff to not have clarity because who's really, it's kind of like a mom and a dad with a kid, right? Mm-hmm. And if the kid doesn't really know and can go back and forth and it gets muddy. Mm-hmm. So back in October, I kind of just said, we were making up job descriptions, right?
Yeah.
And so I printed out everybody's job description just to make sure that the org chart was right and blah, blah, blah. And I went into Larry and said, here's your job description and here's my job description. And I had the president and he had the CEO. And he's reading through it and he goes, oh, no, that's, you do that. And I said, yeah, but this is your title, you know? And he says, but you do that stuff. And I said, okay, if I do that, then it's not fair to the staff. That's why there's this... You know, when you're constantly building a staff and every time you're adding somebody to the staff, the clarity of knowing why are they asking these questions? Why does this person even care? They're not in a role, you know, and it's it really becomes a mess. Mm. And until there's clarity in the org chart, not to say that, oh, my gosh, I'm the president.
Right.
And this,
right.
It's not that at all. It's who's leading. Who's leading and why are they asking these questions? Oh, they're asking these questions because they're leading. And Larry has been wanting to retire. He always says for the last 10 years. I tell him every year I need him for 5 more years and I've been here 10 years. So every year. And so this year I said, I need you for 3 more years. And he said, what? And I said, well, I know you want to retire, but he's young. He's only 63 years old. And he's so valuable. And he just loves the customer and he loves selling and that's what his role is now. So we're slowly working him out and now he's handed that title over by handing that title over, it allowed me to put my team in place, right? And then having the executive team and then the executive team are empowered with their own team.
Yep.
Where when there was this gray, foggy area, it was very difficult for the staff to, oh, do I go to Larry? Do I go to Julie? Do I go to Mark? Who do I go to? Mm-hmm. That has been the hardest part of probably our last couple of years. It has been the best part because with making that decision, staff decisions could be made clear. New hires are brought in and it's very clear. Mm-hmm. And I think I fought clarity for a long time because I was in corporate America and I didn't want all that. I wanted it to be fun. And but now you realize that you do need clarity and it's important. Even if you're a real small staff, you do need clarity. At the end of the day, the end of the day, who's ultimately responsible for this project? And you have that here.
Yep.
You know, at the end of the day, who's reporting to who and who holds who accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still working on that.
Yeah.
We're still learning.
Well, it's funny. I mean, Jake and I have that conversation too because, again, like we're only 7 people in and it's like, does it really matter? You know, like how does this? And I'm like, well, no, like, because I'm part of C12 and it's been a huge learning experience having this, you know, Christian coaching program for a year now of like business development, teaching me how to be a CEO and these things. So I'm learning how to do that stuff. Jake hadn't had that. And I'm like, we have to have these things for exactly that, clarity, roles, because it gives employees and team members confidence in their role when they know what they're expected of. They know who to go to. They know, you know, at the end of the day, who makes final decision, those kinds of things. To where we can't run this like a little boys' club. Like,
no.
It's been fun. It's still going to be fun, but we have to have things in place. to build that strong foundation yes. to continue the growth. So, I mean, that was even conversations that we had was like, yeah. you know, who do guys come to? Like, why can't they just come straight to you? You know, it's like, well, you're their direct supervisor. Like you, well, it's like, well, that's dumb. Like you're right over there. And like, we all know each other. I get that, I but there has to be
yeah.
some kind of chain of command. People know who to directly go to. I mean, those kinds of things just yeah. to give people that clarity and confidence in their position, and that'll keep growing, you know, as we grow our team and whatnot. But so it's fun that yeah, you said that because that's been something that we've, I mean, this year even,
yeah.
Just seen more. And now we're going through, back through job descriptions, again clarifying all those,
yes.
so that everyone doesn't. There's not that gray like, well, you know. And I don't want it to be like, yeah, like, that's not my job. I won't do that. Like
right.
Like no, there's none of that here.
Right.
But just to know at least what you're responsible for, to kind of look back on and go, like, I have clarity in this. And if I'm asked to do, you know, I'll absolutely be open to that. But
yes.
You
know. Oh, I love, well, you're starting that very, you know, your business has been around for how long?
5.5 years.
Oh, my goodness. So kudos to you, because those conversations, we didn't even, you know, this company's been around a long time. And to not have that in place, and you're now so far ahead of that, and mm-hmm. to have this cohort. What is this, the C12?
So C12, yeah. I didn't know if you had heard of it.
I have not. I do want to hear about
it. So that. Yeah, it's around the country. There's chapters all over the place, and they've been around for over 30 years. And really, what they do is they start them in these different locations, and there's chairs. So like your forum chair, that's like the leader. He'll come to a location, he'll start to develop and grow it. And
wow.
It's grown by members. So there was a couple in the Twin Cities, and some of the guys from Rochester were going up there, you know, monthly for okay. this meeting. And they're like, why don't we just start a Rochester forum? Well, we have one down here. And so they did. They broke up. They still have the ones in the cities. I think there's three now, maybe four. And but then they started a Rochester one.
Love it.
So there was four guys, I think it started with four. And C12, they try to get to 12 members, and they'll start a new one. And so it's fun. I got invited one day to be a guest at this, and it was a full day once a month,
really?
And from 9 to 4. And it's, I mean, they have curriculum that they've developed over the years that they go through, you know, small ministry portion. Like when I talk to the guy, he's like, you have to understand, like, this is for companies like 5 million and up. And I know you guys aren't there, but I've seen how you're operating. You know, the guys here are telling me, you know, you can be in the room.
Yeah.
So I got to kind of experience that. And but he's like, this isn't a Bible study. Like, yes, we're a Christian organization. We believe this. And we're trying to create, you know, leaders in the industry to continue furthering the kingdom, you know, because if they can impact
yeah.
CEOs and owners, obviously there's a huge impact from
yes.
that. And so it's been super cool. So I did a full year. We just had our last one in January going over, again, business development. It's like, it's beginning of the year, revisit mission, vision, values, mm-hmm. annual primary objective, you know, core competencies, strategic plan, KPIs, I mean, like the whole shebang, wow. just to get kind of prepped for the year.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so many things that because I started it, so I'm the CEO. Like, that doesn't mean I know how to be a CEO.
Right.
Just because I started the company and I've built it now. So I'm trying to do my due diligence holding this role and going out and learning how to do it.
Yes.
I read a book, and I'm forgetting the name of it, where it was talking about like the CEO's position and a lot of corporate America, you know, you work your butt off to get to this position, hopefully one day. And then a lot of guys, it's kind of like that, oh, like I can kind of chill and I get to do what I want and I made it.
Yeah.
And if you treat it like that, your business starts to suffer. And it's the CEOs that get to that point and are appointed the CEO and understand that that's their role and they have a due diligence now to take on what you know, it's not the time to just kind of do whatever you want. You made it. Now you have the most responsibility in this company to make sure that things are being done and you're developing people. And so it was like those two different things. And that's really what the preface of the book was. It was like one CEO treated it as like the, I made it, I'm going to be golfing, doing whatever, you know, a little bit of my job, but you know, I worked my butt off to get here. I'm going to kind of enjoy it. And the other one saw it as the highest responsibility in the company and what came with that. And I mean, the vastly different outcomes over the years.
Yes. Well, I liked what you just said about you are there and you now have a responsibility. I think that's what excites me so much, because at the end of the day, all the weight of the company is on you, and you're leading. And you're not leading because you have all the answers. Mm-hmm. You're just willing. You're willing to do it. And being willing to do it and knowing that you have to bring others into that, because I know this much, mm-hmm. but I'm willing to lead. But I surround myself with really, really smart mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. And if I have one gift, I think that is my gift, that I'm an includer. I don't know if you guys do strength finders or anything like that.
I have, but I got to get everyone to do it.
Really, it's we, all of our people, you know, had their strength finders done, and we lean on those strengths, and you want to make sure that I'm an includer, and there's always the good side of the includer and the really bad side. You know, we call it the attic is the good, when you're really on your game, mm-hmm. and then there's the basement where it's the ugly side of that strength. But bringing people in and utilizing those strengths, you don't want to have a whole room full of executors mm-hmm. that, and you don't want to have a whole room of just relational people, because they'll never get anything done. And these people will get a lot done, but whatever. Doesn't matter what happens.
Yeah.
See, you need all these, you know, four quadrants, you know, in your company. And that's the part of taking on the leadership role. You're leading, but you're leading by example. I'm involved in, I have a leadership coach. And mm-hmm. one of the reasons I have that is simply to have somebody on the outside that can speak truth, that can speak, give different perspective, that works with a bunch of other people in that role, and I can come to her with an issue, and she goes, well, I have three other people dealing with that same issue, mm-hmm. and this is how they dealt with it, or that has been a game changer, because I was making the mistake of leaning into the staff with my thoughts on the outside, and they didn't need to carry that.
Right.
Somebody else could carry that, you know, and I think that has helped immensely, just having somebody on the outside that I can blow up at if I need to, or just talk through something to get some clarity.
Well, I mean, even to that, like building off, like one, like they don't need to know the issues that, you know, you're facing in that role all the time.
Right.
That's not for them.
Right.
But they also can't relate. Like it just doesn't, like that's, you're doing that, I don't know about that, you know, like.
Right.
So to have, you know, even for me to have access to a room where I can, one, that they keep me accountable, you know, because you're the CEO, unless, you know, like there's no one really keeping you accountable to what you're doing other than you, unless you're in different things like that where they can press in as an outsider that sits in a similar role that can go, well, yeah, but you said you were going to do this and these things, and yeah, but why didn't you? But also having that trust that you can lean on and go, I'm struggling with this and I need help with these things.
Yeah.
So access to the room and peers has been really cool. I mean,
I love it.
Companies that are 20 million to 500 million, you know, sitting there, and it's like, to just see and hear how people operate and go like, man, like, this is super cool. And like, you know, I look back and it's fun to see what's built over the years. But I also don't want to get this prideful, I know what I'm doing mentality. So like, continuing to be a sponge and learning as much as I can by strategically surrounding myself with people, you know, that can fit that can pour into me, that I can learn from, has been just huge for that.
And your staff is watching you go through that. And I think that's the lesson. I learned that as a teacher. I mean, the best teachers I've had are always showing me that they're still learning. Mm. They're not standing at the head of the room with all the answers. And I feel like that is something that you, what you're talking about, I'm hoping your staff, I know your staff knows all that, you know, that you're pouring into yourself to be the very best leader you can be. Mm-hmm. And then they, when you come to them and say, hey, would you like to work with this person and to develop some leadership skills, they'll see that as like, really? Mm-hmm. I get to do this now instead of, oh gosh, mm-hmm. you know, I'm fine the way I am. Yep. But leading by example and showing them that, no, this is how we, this is the growth. You know, you can't do this on your own. And I can't even do it for them. And it really has to be, I can lead and I can demonstrate, but they need somebody on the outside, just like I needed somebody on the outside. I think that's.
And even, you know, the guy that asked you, like, do you want it? Do you want to do it?
Do you want it?
You know, because you could be pouring into them trying to.
Right.
Develop and help and do whatever, but if they don't want it, it's just, you know, just kind of falls flat on its face and it doesn't turn into anything.
And are they willing to do the work? You know, so many people just want a contact or they just want something from you. Oh, no, just give me the answer. Just give me the contact. Just give me the introduction. And I think, wait a second, you know, it took a long time to get to this point. And part of getting to this point is valuing that contact and valuing the process of getting here. Would you like to come with me and I will show you? You know, I'll show you anything you want, but you have to be willing to take the time to get involved. Mm-hmm. If you want the fruit of this association, come here, I'll show you how you actually
you gotta know how to get there. Yep.
Yeah, you're gonna sit on this committee here and you're gonna serve and you're gonna do it for 2 years before anybody's gonna talk to you.
Yep.
I joined when I first started with Fresh Paint. I went from being a property manager to then being a salesperson to the property manager, right? And so I knew already how the property manager thought. Mm-hmm. But when I went to the association, now as the I'm now the vendor. I had two older men that they were watching me and I got involved in a committee and I'd been there for a couple months and they said, come here a second. And they said, we saw you, you know, talking and it's good. You got an association. He says, you're not going to sell for a whole year. No selling for a whole year in this association. And these are two big wigs in the, you know, they were very successful men and I appreciated them very much. And every event they'd come by and go, what are you doing this week? Who are you going to lunch with and who are you bringing lunch to and what committee, you know, what, oh, I saw you at the golf committee and you were volunteering. And they just said, you're going to do that for 2 years. That's what you're going to do. And that's what I did. Mm-hmm. And those relationships have been there. Because of that work that was done so early, during COVID, during the ugly seasons, during you could always go back to those people and it was genuine, you know. And those two guys have now retired. But, you know, you've just, if you're open, there will always be somebody that helps or gives you wisdom, right? And that's what. Hopefully I get to be that person.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely you do. Yeah. So for you even now, you know, I mean, I know you have a lot to still progress with Fresh Paint and, you know, lots that you want to do there.
Lots.
But you've also learned a lot just through this. You know, and what have been some of those key things, I guess, for you that you could even pass on to listeners, you know, even to myself and go, here's some things that have been key for me, and I know we've talked about a lot that have for sure, but I always like to, you know, to ask if there's been like things that like really have stood out to you. It's like, man, like this was a game changer. This really helped for kind of that next aspiring for those people growing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
well, I mean, this is cliche, but the don't be afraid to fail. I watched my parents fail at times. We failed at times. But it's in the failure that makes the person and makes the reputation, you know. And so the strength that comes out of that, and then not to be afraid to take risks, which I'm not a risk taker. I want to know what's coming next. I want to know. And I even told you today, I said, this is totally out of my comfort zone. And one of my New Year's resolutions this year, if you've ever seen the movie Yes Man, with Jim Carrey, silly movie, but it had an impact on me in the respect that if you're willing, I'm a bad procrastinator. So I will put things off. So my New Year's resolution was to say yes to things that made me uncomfortable and do them right away. Mm-hmm. And so far I had you calling saying, hey, will you do a testimonial? Hey, will you do a blog? And I'm like, and then I had another person reach out, will you be on a panel? And I'm like, okay, yes, I will. And I think now that I'm older and the lessons I've learned, I wish I would have said yes. To things that made me feel uncomfortable. So, because doors open that you have no idea. That one person that asks you to lunch, that I will say, I'm too busy, I'm just, but then I go to lunch, and I would have missed it. So, yeah, don't give up. And surround yourself with good people.
So for you and for Fresh Paint, what's the future look like? What's next? What's coming?
We talked a little bit about this, and we're hoping that we will be on our third video soon with the idea that we're in a 3-year kind of an aggressive plan. We are looking to not only grow, like we talked about, to provide opportunity for our people and to provide opportunity for our partners. Mm-hmm. Part of doing that is to be a resource for good. Mm-hmm. We want to grow our charitable side. We want to bring in more people to our company because it is a place that is very fun to work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
we're different. We're not for everybody. But it's different, and so many people I talk to, they dread Monday. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, I'm ready to go back to work, and it's not a detriment to my family. I love my family. I love my vacation time, but I love my week, and it's such a shame when you hear people don't. So, specifically, it's really the growth and taking on. You had asked me, well, will our name Fresh Paint keep us too small? And you're right. You know, we've had those conversations. And what's so cool about our staff, we're an open book. We're pretty transparent in our company, so they all know what's going on. But we've talked about the fresh companies. We've talked about acquisition. We've talked about going into other markets down south to balance out our winter.
Yep.
So many things, but I'm more the dreamer, and then we have to figure out, okay, how do we get there? So we always begin everything with end in mind. What is it? Where do we want to end? Personally, where do I want to end? I want to be that person that pours in. Mm-hmm. Would love to be the Bob that was for me to others. So, oh my gosh, there's so much.
Yeah.
So much. But people just you can't get stuck in the weeds because we're all in the weeds, like at least once a week. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have your days where you want to throw your head upside. You do.
Yeah.
And you just think, what? So much easier. I should just go work for somebody else. It's so much easier, but it's so silly, you know, because That's awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for coming on. I had a blast. I learned a lot. I always leave these, one, just learning so much, having a great conversation. But then, like, I feel like we could have kept talking.
Oh, we can talk
hours and hours.
Yeah.
And there's so much to do. But I know that we talked about a lot of great things, and you had a ton of great info.
Well, thank you for the information you shared. I want to look into that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think that's how we can help people.
It's, absolutely.
You know, share the resources that have touched us.
And as always, guys, thank you for tuning in this week. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Please continue to share it. We're going to keep building this community. We're going to keep getting good people on. And we'll see you on the next one.